Hi, everyone. I'm like a little sub. I'm going to be completely honest with you. Sometimes I move around a little bit while worshiping. And because of that, because I move around, because I think naturally my body is just very warm, sometimes I sweat. So if you see sweat stains, I'm sorry. It's the shirt, it's the heat, it's the lights, it's the anointing. I don't get close enough, you'll smell the anointing. Anyway, so let's open up in some prayer this evening. Lord, we thank you for tonight's message, tonight's service. Lord, we dedicate every single moment to you. We say that, Jesus, you are Lord of this place. You are Lord of this message. You are Lord on this stage. You are Lord in this church. And I pray, Lord, for every single person watching, that you may be Lord in their homes, that your presence would be enthroned in their homes, Lord, as they lift up their praises, as they lift up their worship, as they lift up the name of Jesus. I thank you that you would be Lord in their homes, so that no evil thing, no corrupt thing would enter their homes, Lord, but that their homes would be sanctuaries for the Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I was up here and I was just thinking how nuts, how completely opposite, like, this moment here, this evening is from middle school. I was standing right here. You guys saw me. I was standing right here, and I was thinking, man, I hated going to church. And I went to a school that made me go to church. Every Friday, we would have to go to church, and I hated it. And that's what happens when you go to church, but you have no relationship. That's what happens when you come to a place and you don't come to a person. Different things happen because you come to a place expecting something that this church will not give you what Jesus is supposed to give you. He won't. And people come in and they come out because they're looking for validation from people, or they're looking for people to just fix them. Listen, there's only one person who can fix you. That's Jesus. And you have to allow him into your heart. Amen? I just remember thinking, it'd be Friday. I think it was like 11 o'clock. And it's like, all right, everyone, like, line up. We're going to go to church. We're going to go to, you know, they called it Mass. We're going to go to Mass. And I remember thinking, like, oh, the next hour and a half is going to be so boring. So boring. And I was just thinking, wow, like, that is the complete opposite of not only what I've experienced today, but the complete opposite of David when he wrote in the Psalms, I was glad when they said unto me to come to the house of the Lord. Yeah. Like right now, I can think, is there any other place that I would rather be than in the presence of God? No. I'm joking, but I'm not joking. There's no other place where I'd rather be but the presence of God. Where else can I get peace that surpasses understanding? Where else can I get joy that permeates every? You ever had like a good laugh where, like, you know, like, you ever had like just a good laugh where, like, you feel that laugh in every single vein of your body? And it's like, and then you ever laugh so hard that you get to a point where you forget why you're laughing, and it's like a downhill thing, and you just, by the end, you're like, I don't even know why I was laughing. No, it's just Jesus gives us that. And here's the thing. Here's the thing, like, I think of us having joined the Lord, and I think Jesus was probably the exact same way. Jesus is the one who gives us joy. And how ridiculous is it for us to not be able to picture Jesus laughing? Like, could you imagine Jesus having a good belly laugh? And could you just picture Jesus having like this hilarious, you know, because when Jesus laughs, you can't help but laugh. I mean, come on. His laugh is so anointed. He laughs, you laugh. Could you just imagine like Jesus laughing and it would just make you fall in love with him and make you want to run up to him and just hug him and be like, I want to laugh with you, Lord. Am I being too childish? The Lord laughs at much more than your jokes. The Lord laughs with you, I assure you. The Lord loves you, Carlos, and the Lord loves that you're here. Amen. Bless all of you guys are here. Amen. I was glad when they said unto me, come to the house of the Lord. What a joy and a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. And here's the thing. The house of the Lord is not made up of the four walls, guys. The house of the Lord could be your own homes. Many churches were started in homes. A lot of big churches. Churches in the New Testament. They were started in homes. They were meeting in homes. There's no reason why your home cannot be a sanctuary. If you're taking notes this evening, I've titled this Jesus Faith. Jesus Faith. It's really about faith, but I just want to throw the name of Jesus in there because that's important. Everyone say Jesus Faith. So last night, it was like midnight, and I got home, and I just felt this impression of the Holy Spirit. Listen, guys, I have not arrived. I'm still learning how to listen to the Holy Spirit. And so this is how it went for me. I'm driving home, and I just have this impression. And I'm like, it's so funny because every time God speaks, you ever have like, this might even happen to you guys. We're like, hey, Pastor wants to talk to you. And you're like, he knows all my sins. or he's like, Pastor wants to talk to you. He's like, oh, my gosh, he knows where I was. He knows. Nope. Has that ever happened to you? That happens to me with God all the time. Where like I feel, as soon as I feel like the Holy Spirit's speaking to me, I think I'm in trouble. I think, oh man, I did something wrong. I gotta repent for everything. I gotta let go of everything. I gotta get in my closet and just cry for I don't know why. I just gotta repent. That happens to me a lot. I have this. I don't know why. Probably because maybe the type of person who's performance driven, and when correction comes, my whole world comes crumbling down. The Lord is working on that, and. So anytime the Holy Spirit, every time I feel like the Holy Spirit's saying something to me, my automatic response is to look inward, say, did I do something wrong, or what's wrong with me, or what do I got to fix? So I'm driving home, and I feel this impression of the Lord. And the last few months, I've been learning, okay, because the last few months it's happened, it hasn't been because I did something wrong. It's because the Lord wants me to do something. And so I'm driving home, like I feel this impression. I'm like, all right, before I freak out, Lord, what are you saying to me? And so I just start kind of rehearsing in my head. Lord, do you want me? I just start working this out with the Lord. I start working this out with the Holy Spirit. And then I had this thought. Read Romans chapter 1. And as soon as I had that thought, I was like, you know, I'm going to go home and I'm going to read Romans chapter 1. And as soon as I had that thought and as soon as I made the decision, when I get home, I'm going to read Romans chapter 1. I just felt this peace of God and this unction saying, yes, that's what you have to do. That's how I heard the Lord. Amen. Good night. So I got home and I started reading Romans chapter 1, and this is where I want to go this evening, and this is the passage that I want to share with you guys tonight concerning having a Jesus kind of faith. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
I am excited. It is only through faith, not by works, we are saved. Someone say amen.
Amen.
We're going to see today that works are a byproduct of salvation. Works are a product of salvation. Romans chapter 1, we will start in verse 16. This is Paul writing to the church in Rome. Rome. This is Paul writing to the church in Rome, and this is before, because if you read the letter, Paul wants so badly to go to Rome, and this is his letter to the church in Rome saying, I want to visit you guys. But Paul right here in his letter, he's pretty much expressing his heart. He's expressing who he is in Jesus so that they know who he is when he gets there. It's like an introduction letter, but it's amazing. So many scholars and theologians, they love Romans because it lays out beautifully, theologically, what it means to be saved, the difference between being saved through faith and being saved through works, and watch, we're going to read into it, and it's amazing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I don't have it here. I need it. Sorry, Romans chapter 1, we'll start in verse 16. Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Right before this, he's saying, I'm going to go to Rome and I'm going to preach the gospel. He's just excited to talk about God and Jesus. Amen. So should we. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Sorry, I got to stop one more time. Please, let's listen with ears, with fresh ears. With ears to hear, not ears of routine, not ears of familiarity. We cannot read the Bible and then read over it because we've already read it 100 times. Does that make sense? God has spoken and he's still speaking. The Holy Spirit will use verses over and over again to speak truths in our lives. It's crucial that whenever we read the Bible, I just heard this yesterday in a sermon, you know, read the Bible to encounter the King. I'm going to say it again. Read the Bible to encounter the King. It's a completely different approach. Are there answers in the Bible that you need? Yes, but it's better to know the one who gives the answers than to just figure it out yourself. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. He is our helper. Amen. Jesus promised that he would be the one to teach us and to lead us and to help us. So to read the Bible without the Holy Spirit, we're no better than the theologians, sorry, not theologians, than the university professors who know the Bible better than I am, but they have no relationship with Jesus. There's a difference, and it's the Holy Spirit. Anyway, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written. Paul here quotes the Old Testament. Something I'm learning that's just so beautiful is read the Old Testament through the lens of the New Testament. The Old Testament becomes so much more alive. Like, it really does. Like, we'll look at it later, especially when you read the story of Abraham through the lens of Hebrews. It's like, wow, it's really amazing. We'll read that, actually, a little bit about Hebrews. But it's great to read the Old Testament, but to read it in the context of the New Testament about Jesus, it is, like, amazing. Like, it will blow the mind out of you. Blow the mind. Yeah, anyways. Go back to verse 16, please. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. I read this last night and just got stuck here because I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is so good. Like, I've read this so many times and I've never, like, felt the Holy Spirit unction that I felt last night of the gospel of Christ is the good news of Christ. The good news of Christ is the word of Christ. The word of Christ is the power of God. Everyone say, the word of Christ, is the power of God, to salvation. Come on, people. The word of God is the power of God to salvation. One thing that our generation, and it happens to me all the time, we are lacking intimacy with God through the Bible. We are lacking intimacy with Jesus. Listen, it's great to worship. It's great to put your worship music on. It's great to get on your face and pray in tongues for hours. It's great. But you miss out if you're not reading the Bible. Yeah. You miss out if you're not reading the Bible to encounter him, not because you're looking for answers, not because you're trying to debate someone, not because you're trying to be right, but you're trying to be righteous with the one who makes us righteous. Amen? It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who, what word is that right there?
Believes.
And the word for believes is to have faith. Yeah. Belief and faith are synonymous. The power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. See, salvation is contingent. Everyone say contingent. Salvation, guys, salvation is contingent on us believing unto him. In other words, salvation isn't a moment. It's not a moment in a prayer. It's not a moment at camp. Salvation is a life that we live. Yeah. Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Not because you're afraid, not because you're terrorized, but because you understand the urgency, the magnitude of being saved. We forget there's a magnitude to being saved. Yeah. See, to receive salvation and to salvation is a state of being. And as salvation, as people who are saved, this is not what salvation looks like. Salvation doesn't look like how close to the edge can I get and can I still be saved? Can I lie just this once and God will be okay with it? Or can I look at this person just this one time and God will forgive me? And this is the trap of our works. We think that this small work or this little sin isn't going to affect my salvation. But you're working outside of salvation, guys. It's not who you're created to be. What kind of person would want to marry a husband that is constantly trying to figure out, how much can I flirt with my secretary without me getting in trouble with my wife? See, we don't want that for ourselves. And yet sometimes we turn around on God and say, how many times can I miss church and God's not upset at me? Jesus says they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Jesus said, you know, in the end times, you know, you guys will say, Lord, Lord. They will try to get into the kingdom of God, and Jesus said, I never knew you. I never had intimacy with you. And so today I feel this urgency to tell you guys, we need to spend time with Jesus through reading the Bible. There's no way around it. There is no way around it. You cannot call yourself a Christian, come to church on Sundays and Wednesdays, and not read your Bible. Listen, I cannot stress enough, intimacy with Jesus through reading the Bible. We wonder why we're terrorized with temptations and thoughts and feelings when we spend more time looking at social media and the news than we do seeing what God has said about us. Reading the Bible changes you guys. Yeah. Reading the Bible gives you a perspective of who you're called to be. And it's not in a condemning way. It's not in a you suck way. It's in a look at everything that you can be, everything you can have. You would just spend more time with me. God is so good, amen? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For everyone who believes. Are there any believers in the house?
Yeah.
For the Jew first and also for the Greek. Can you go back to verse 16? Side note, I've always been confused as to why, not confused as to why first the Jew and then the Greek. But if you look at the life of Paul, whenever he went to a city to preach, he would always go to the temples first to talk to the Jews, and then some Jews would receive him, some wouldn't, and then he'd go and talk to everybody else, the Gentiles. But he always went to the temples first. Anyway, so verse 17. Is this good?
Yeah.
This is good. I think this is good. 1:00 in the morning last night, I was like, this is good. For in it. Oh, man. First of all, those three words. For in it. For in it. Everyone say for in it. What is for in it? It's a continuation of the last sentence. What was the last sentence? The last sentence was talking about salvation through believing, right? Salvation through believing. For in salvation through believing is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. It's all connected, guys. The word of God, salvation through belief, results in righteousness that God reveals to us. And in that and through his grace, that's how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to, the just. Everyone say, I'm just.
I'm just.
Or in other words, I'm justified, which means that we have been made right through Christ in the eyes of God. And through that, everyone say, through that,
through that,
the works flow. Through that, the works flow. I wrote this down, so I'm going to read it. In all other religions, you do the works so that you can be in control. In Christianity, you do the works because he's in control.
Say that again.
In all other religions, you do the works so that you can be in control. In Christianity, you do the works because he's in control. In other religions, there's all these rules and regulations that you have to do to appease the God so that you're not in trouble. And so, you know, you get the rain this harvest and the locusts don't, I don't know what they do, but you know what I'm talking about, right? Like it's very works driven. I love what, who was it? It was one of the Darren Wilson movies. I think Reinhard Bonnke. He says, I think it was him. But he says, in what other religion can you say that your God loves you?
Come on, that's so good. Wow.
Everything that I've seen and heard, the gods are angry and you have to do this, this, and this so they're not angry and so that you won't get in trouble. It's very condemnation and guilt driven, which doesn't come from God. It comes from the devil. In all the other religions, you do the works so that you can be in control. In Christianity, you do the works because he's in control. Amen? Amen. All right, Romans chapter 1. Let's go on. This is fun. We're at verse, for the wrath of God, wait, look, can we go back to just this recap? For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth, we'll stay here, in unrighteousness. So if you guys are reading like your Bible app or your Bible, you see that most commonly these two sections are broken up. But it's one letter, one author, one message. This is a continuation of the just, this is right after the just shall live by faith. We're seeing right now, and it's so easy for us to not make connections because of the breaks in the Bible. They're a blessing because it shows us the context or it helps us to find things quicker. Pastor Drew a few days ago in his daily devotion, he was talking about, you know, the reason why we have chapters and verses is I can say, you know, turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. I can't, you know, I'll say, hey, turn to the book of Romans, and it's about, you know, 25 pages in, 3/4 of the way down. That's if you have the scrolls. But yeah, does that make sense? Like, it's not very practical. This makes it very practical. Right. So, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So, right here, Paul is showing us a contrast. I'm going to say contrast. He's showing us a contrast of those who live just, and right now, or those who live righteous, and those who don't live righteous. And he's about to show us characteristics of people who don't live righteously. I want to warn you, this might be convicting. If there's children in the room, you might, I'm kidding. Disclaimer. Go back. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Or in other words, sin. Sin suppresses the truth that God has placed in your life. Yeah. In Candace's devotional today, she was talking about it. I'll just quickly recap what she talked about. So, in the morning, her dad woke her up at 8 in the morning and said, hey, are you ready for your devotion? He said, hey, are you ready? And she said, what are you talking about? Ready for what? He's like, your devotional, it's Wong Wednesday. You know, you're going to do your devotional at 2 o'clock on Sozo. And she's like, of course I'm ready. Like, duh, I'm ready. An hour and 45 minutes later, she's convicted because she's not ready and she just lied to her father. She lied because she wanted to put up an appearance of having it all together. See, that lie didn't come from the Holy Spirit. That lie didn't come from God. That lie came from an insecurity. And so instead of her humbling herself and admitting and exposing the insecurity, she actually added to that stronghold by lying about it. And that's what happens with unrighteous people is that they suppress the truth through sin. The more you sin, Paul talks about it, is you become slaves to unrighteousness. You become slaves to sin because as you do it over and over again, you succumb yourself to it. And see, the truth no longer sets you free because your bondage is in sin. And so and that's why you're not free because you're suppressing it through sin. And so every time you choose sin, you're choosing to suppress the truth. And so when God validates you and he speaks the word over you at camp and he delivers you from whatever he delivered you from, as soon as you start sinning again, you start going backwards, or the Bible calls it backsliding, because you're starting to now suppress the truth, or in other words, you're suppressing Jesus and now you're embracing what the Bible says, a dog going back to its vomit. Next verse. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. right here, what God is saying, there's a verse in Psalms. It says, the heavens declare your glory. Paul is saying there's no way you can look at the earth, look at space, look at how we were created, look at all the intricacies of organisms in biology and chemistry and physics. There's no way you can see all of these things, even in mathematics. You can't see all Fibonacci numbers. You cannot look at all of these things and say, man, there's no God, or there's no intelligent design. And here God's not talking about specifically about salvation. He's just saying, like, the earth testifies of an invisible creator. And them not believing in God isn't because they didn't see it. It's because they chose to suppress the truth.
Yeah.
For God has shown it to them. A few months ago, a great person in the Lord, his name was Ravi Zacharias. He went to be with the Lord. And just listen to his sermons. They are a wealth of knowledge. And he tells a story of, because he would go to conferences and he would speak, and at the end of these conferences, they would have, or at the end of the sermon, speech, whatever, they would have a Q&A. And this, I forgot what the question was, but the issue was on absolute truth. It was on morality. And this person was asking Ravi that, you know, there's no truth. There's no right and wrong, because it's all made up by man. Like, right and wrong is dictated by man. And if man says something is right, it's right. And if something is wrong, it's wrong. So the Bible says in the end times, man will say what's evil is good and what's good and evil. And so Ravi gives a hypothetical. He said, if I brought an infant up on stage, a cute little infant, just been right in front of everybody, and I took a sledgehammer, and I just whacked the infant with a sledgehammer, would that be right or wrong? He's like, it depends. He's like, if the society said it was right, it'd be right. If it was wrong, it'd be wrong. I wouldn't be able to make a judgment. I wouldn't be able to say what it is, because it's relative. It's relative to the situation. It's relative to the nation. And then Ravi said, yes, but let me ask you one more time. If you were standing right here and I was standing right here and I did it to that infant, how would you feel? And he said, well, I wouldn't enjoy it, but I wouldn't be able to. She's like, stop. He's like, you wouldn't enjoy it. He's like, there's something in you that instinctively knows it's wrong.
Yes, that's so true.
Why wouldn't you enjoy it? Because inside, here's what the Bible says, that he's written his law on our hearts.
Yeah.
There is something inside of us that says what's right and wrong, and that goes away because we suppress it.
Yes. That's so good.
Next verse. This all happened last night. It was great. Like, I heard this last night. Well, the Holy Spirit stuff. Next verse. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without, what's that word? Excuse. Next verse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Everyone say, oh no.
Oh, no.
Next verse. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed, we'll stay right here, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. I read this last night and I was just like, keep in mind, this is first of all, we're only in the first chapter of Romans. Just sit down and read it. And allow the Holy Spirit to just speak to you. Everything I've spoken to you, literally, it came out of just me spending time with God. Can I be honest with them about the speaking engagement? I didn't know I was going to speak today. I didn't. I found out, 3 hours ago. Less than 3 hours ago, I was like, oh, I'm speaking today. I'm just speaking to you what happened when I spent time with God last night. We need to spend time with God. We need to have intimacy with God through reading the Bible. Amen? Back to this verse. And change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. And now I was reading this, and I was like, why does man change the glory of God? And why do, it's like they seek to have control of the religion. They seek to have control of this, of whatever it is. Because here's the thing. I hope this makes sense. Man creates a religion or creates these gods. And now when things go wrong in their life, they have someone to blame. They can blame the birds or four-footed animals or other corruptible men. It's like we have this desire to not take the blame and now to create this religion where we can cast the blame so it's not our fault. And now there's no accountability for our lives. And it's definitely not God, because God, the true God, holds us accountable to his truth. Whereas the religions that we create don't hold us accountable because they're not true. Does that make sense? Here, let me say it this way. People create their own gods and their own truths so they can be their own God. Yeah. And not be accountable to someone that's greater than them, who knows more than them, who can lead them. Prideful people do not want to be led. They want to be right. And so I'm going to create a religion where I'm right and it's my truth and it makes sense. Because I don't want to follow a God who exposes me, who shows me, you know, what's wrong in my life and who wants better things for me. I know what's better for me. I want to be in control. Because believing in an eternal Father who has good plans for us, who has a great destiny for us, means we got to let go of what we want and we need to let go of our desire to be in control all the time. I can create a spaghetti monster religion and I'm still in control. I can create a religion with four-footed animals, corruptible women. I'm still in control. But as soon as I meet Jesus Christ, who I know, wow, is smarter than me, is greater than me, now I have to be accountable because I know the truth now. Yeah. I can't know that that's true and then not react to it. Yeah. That was a better way to explain it. I wrote more things down. We'll wrap up. Oh, man, this is good. Next verse, please. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor the bodies among themselves. In this chapter, Paul says God gave them up like three times. And if you read just this one chapter, you read it, you see this progression of just things getting worse and worse. And it's not because God wanted to get worse. It's because they kept rejecting the truth. And God has no choice, because God will not impose his will on us. So God gives them up to more bondage because they're choosing to continue to sin. It's not God's fault that we're in bondage. Next verse. Sorry, previous verse. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Next verse. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. Everyone say the lie.
The lie.
And worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Amen. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. Check this out. Sin suppresses the truth. Sin comes in agreement with the lies and builds strongholds in your life. Yeah. If the truth sets you free, then lies keep you in bondage. Listen to the word in the Paul. They exchanged the truth. Are there any truths this evening that we have exchanged for lies? I'm not good enough. I'll never get that job. I'll never be valuable. I'm never going to have enough money. I'm never going to lose weight. I'm never going to be good enough for that person. Things will always be like this. I can never forgive that person. I can never forget what they did. I just don't have the patience. I just don't have the grace. I just don't have the willpower. I just can't take this anymore. This is too much for me. You know what's funny? I hear a lot of I's and me's there. Instead of he is worthy, he is greater, he is my supplier, he is my provider, he is my helper, he is my strength, he is my joy, he is my shield, he is my refuge, he is my strength. It's almost as if, it's almost as God is just the great I am. What is it that you need? He is. Amen. 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 Angel, can you bless us? Being justified means something. It doesn't mean suppressing the truth. It doesn't ask questions of how far is too far or God will be okay with it just this one time. When you read this chapter, I encourage you, read this chapter. It's amazing. Every chapter in Romans is amazing. And you'll see the contrast between the just that live by faith and the unrighteous people who suppress the truth. Those are parallels. Because the just can only live by the truth. Because it's the truth that sets them free from sin. And it's the and Jesus is the truth. He is the only way in truth. And so you can't live justly without being justified by him. And you can't be justified by him without knowing him. And you can't know him without saying no to sin.
Yeah. Good.
Amen. We praise you, Jesus. We lift you up right now, God. We lift you up, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that we are encouraged tonight to want to go into our secret place, shut out the world, and spend time with you by reading your word. Not because there is an agenda, not because there's other motives. Our only motive is to know you more and to please you, God. That we would read the word of God with open hearts to receive whatever correction you have, whatever blessing you have, whatever encouragement you have for us, God. That we just come to a deeper understanding that you are the truth. And that your word is alive. And that we can encounter you through that truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The next few moments, I want to pray for anybody who's sick. So if you're sick, let us know. And then Jesus is going to heal you.
Yeah.
I'm going to pray for you guys, and Jesus is going to heal you, because that's who he is. He's your provider. He's your supplier. He's your joy. He's your peace. He's your healer. That's who he is. Amen.
Can you pray for the Cortez family?
Yeah.
They lost their daughter.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we had a. If you don't know, we had a tragedy happen in Pico Rivera Sunday afternoon, and 13-year-old girl lost her life. So we'll pray peace over that family right now. So Lord, we thank you, for God, for the Cortez family, Jesus, that you would just minister to their hearts and their minds, Lord. That you would just be there with them, God, and the Holy Spirit, your peace and your presence would just permeate their homes, God, permeate that family, Lord. That you would encourage them, Father. You would love them, Lord. And that you would show them that in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of sadness, in the midst of mourning, Lord, that you are still good and that you still love them, Lord. And that they can still reach out to you and they can still have fellowship with you and that you can be their strength, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So right now, if you're feeling any pain anywhere, just put your hand on whatever part of your body you feel pain. And cool. Wherever you feel pain, All right. I got prayer requests. This is great because then God can now heal people. Well, he wasn't doing it anyway, but give me more specific. Lord, we thank you for Georgie. We thank you that Georgie is healed in the name of Jesus. Any issues that's happening in his body, Lord, we just command it to be cleansed, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for Clara and for Robert, Lord, that whatever pains or aches they're feeling, Lord, or whatever sicknesses that they may feel like are coming upon them, Lord, we wash those away, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you that you are their healer, God. I thank you, God, for Margaret, Lord. I thank you that her body is healed in the name of Jesus. I thank you for April. I thank you for any injuries that April may have had, Lord, or any head trauma or any neck injuries, Lord. We command all of those things to be reversed in the name of Jesus. We thank God for complete healing, complete wholeness in her entire body from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, Lord. We thank you for Mr. Anthony, Lord. I thank you that his stomach is healed in the name of Jesus, that that even right now, Lord, that any pain or any sharp pains that he's having, Lord, or any, even if he feels like he tore something, Lord, I thank you that that is healed in the name of Jesus, Lord. We reverse that. We say that brand new stomach, brand new muscles, Lord. I thank you that he's completely healed right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for Oscar's dad, Lord. I thank you that for his healing right now, Father, that his body is completely healed, Father, his heart and his mind, that you would just, that your peace and your spirit will rest upon him, Lord, for that healing right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God. We thank you for Miranda's knees, both of them? Both knees, I can't see. We thank you, God, for Miranda's knees, Lord, that they are healed in the name of Jesus. I thank you that any bruising, Father, or any anything happening with her joints, Lord, we command to be made whole right now in the name of Jesus. Declare that those knees be made straight and be strengthened, Lord, and be healed right now in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, God, for these healings. We thank you that Ruth's dad will stand up right now and walk in the name of Jesus, that, Lord, you through your Holy Spirit, you will strengthen his legs, God, right now in the name of Jesus, that any pain in his feet will be gone right now in the name of Jesus. We just built up the faith in him, Lord, right now that he's recognized, oh my gosh, I can stand right now. So we say, Ruth's dad, stand up in the name of Jesus, and because Jesus Christ has healed you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for Pastor Chandler's feet, Lord. I thank you that they are healed in the name of Jesus, Lord. Any inflammation. Thank you. We thank you for the inflammation in her feet to go right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for a perfect blood flow, perfect blood circulation, Lord, in her veins and in her muscles, Lord. We command them to be for any swelling to go down right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel. So I thank you, Lord, that her feet are made perfect and whole right now in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. And we thank you for anybody else watching and listening, Lord, who are asking you, Lord, for a miracle and healing. I thank you that your words to them is, I am willing. And I thank you, Lord, that they are healed right now in the name of Jesus. Of any heart, I thank you for people right now that are struggling with unforgiveness, God, who are struggling with letting go of things from the past. Lord, I thank you that they are a new creation in Christ Jesus right now, Lord, and that you would renew their minds right now. You would renew their spirits, renew their emotions, Lord, so that they love you more than they want to hold on to that grudge, Lord. They love you more than they want to hold on to the bitterness. They are so grateful that they are forgiven that they're willing to forgive anyone and anything, Lord. So thank you, Father, for transforms lives, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.